hit because of subprime. Of course, they're still going to make money in the quarter.
And he's got the cure for what ails your money. Get your daily antidote for a contagious market from the doctor, Dr. John Najarian.
Nobody has a bigger license to steal than a European money center bank. I didn't say that today.
Office hours open late for your financial health.
You got to cover the mic when you do
oops,
that again.
Oops.
Stocks and Jocks. Weekdays at 3 with Dr. J on the Biz Radio Network.
Okay, we're back again. This is Bar Talk, Sex, Laws, and Audio Tape Without the Sex. Scott has pointed out that I have been butchering his title. And I did agree to choose the title, but I'm going to try to say it correctly from here on out in the show. And next time, too. Will that get me out of trouble?
That's fine, but it's lawyers who don't suck is the last part of it.
Well, that part got added. Doesn't that make the title too long?
All right.
It just makes such a, you know, it's like a whole paragraph for the name of our program.
All right. Well, we're talking about the criminal consequences to import-export law today.
We are. And you've all heard our ads now. You heard Scott's ad. You heard my ad. And let me just circle around and say that if you do have a business exporting items and you need an attorney to evaluate these lists with your client list, feel free to call me. Check out my website if you want to see about the experience, or call me. And I do that. I take a retainer and we'll analyze your entire client base and we'll figure out if you have a problem, if you have a reason to be concerned. And obviously that's confidential, so those federal agents don't know that we're making sure. One of the reasons that's important is one of the things the federal government will look at if they do target you for investigation is any controls you have done to try to keep this from happening. And controls include consulting with your attorney. So that's either good. Consult good. With me or consult with your business attorney. And if they look at the list and they just freak out, they can call me too. But it scared me the first time, particularly since I didn't know there was going to be more than one list. And I figured, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to just pull up this list. And this is going to tell me whether or not my client had violated these laws. And then I found one list and I found another list. And I thought, well, I'm doing something wrong. But what I did to make sure I wasn't doing something wrong is I went back to my sort of base research tools. And I always, you know, we always go to seminars. Lawyers go to a lot of seminars. And one of the seminars I went to included a program on this very issue. Now, it was years ago before I cared, but I knew it was back there and I found it. And I now even have an updated piece of information. And there I was reminded that I was corrected. I want to give credit to this attorney who prepared the seminar and did an excellent job. And he's with a big firm in a big city in Colorado. You know which big cities in Colorado. Everybody knows which. Denver, yes.
South Park.
Right? Triplett McIntosh. And Tripp did a nice job with this seminar and with some significant materials. And I thought he should get some credit for being the foundation of my research. And foundations of research are good things to have. Now, and I should point out, too, I noticed in Scott's ad, his website's not on there. Scott, your website's not on your ad.
ScottBoats.com or ProbateWars.com. That's my website.
So if you want to take a look, and ladies, you should want to take a look because Scott's actually a very handsome man. So if you want to take a look at the website.
Very kind of you. But, you know, there are a lot of articles on there that explain my approach to conflict. Mm-hmm. And I talk about law as really being... it's all about conflict. It's naturally adversarial. Some people think that, you know, the system's adversarial and that's what's wrong with it. That people are adversarial is what happens. And we create this forum, this way of dealing with the conflict, courts, and it's just people. It's not the boogeyman. It's not lawyers or judges who are doing bad things and running up costs. It's people. It's you and, I mean, not me, of course, but... I mean, everyone else. You know what I mean? It's people who are at the root of all these conflicts. And those articles on my website, thank you for mentioning ScottBoats.com. That's Scott, BOATES.com. They explain my approach and my philosophy. But we were talking during the break about how it is that people at a particular level make a choice, an informed decision, to prosecute certain laws, perhaps more aggressively, or with certain people, as opposed to prosecuting those laws with others. And we talked a little bit about Oscar Wyatt, an 83-year-old guy, very wealthy man, agreed to plead guilty to violating federal laws, barring trade with Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq. And, you know, there's a lot there about what happened. But Oscar's one of, I think, over a couple of thousand firms that were doing the bad things and involving over $1 billion, according to the federal commission that was set up for that. But it just does make you wonder, what, how are decisions made?
Well, you know, interesting.
For certain people.
You know, you're referring to that those people as those people making that decision. They, those, let's go ahead and put a name on those people. That is the U.S. Attorney's Office, the United States Attorney's Office, in whatever jurisdiction you're in, makes the decisions of who's going to be prosecuted for federal crimes. Now, those crimes are brought to them.
How do you get to be a U.S. attorney?
Gosh, you know, I'm wondering the same thing myself. My guess is that you have a friend and you give them a bunch of money. Oh, no,
well, they're very
kidding.
Fine. They're high-quality lawyers who, it's like, for example, how does one become a judge? Some people say that there are judges out there on some planet who are not, for example, elected. And I don't understand that because I know you work in federal court. And the way I see that, Daphne, is all those judges are elected. They're just elected by the United States Senate, for example. So every judge at some level, because they are public servants, not because they're politicians, but they have to be fettered through public processes. So those public processes lead us to individuals who are responsible for or charged with the duty of enforcing law, but they get to be there through public processes that I think legitimately are political processes. So naturally, the decisions about what matters during what administration is inherently political, it seems to me.
And the U.S. attorneys do go through that same process. And
yeah.
So, and then they'll see the U.S. attorney, him or herself, and then they hire their minions.
And
so
remember,
they're going to reflect their attitude too.
Right. And when you and I were in law school, there's a particular ethics professor. I remember he used to encourage us to believe that law is a profession that is just different. And perhaps it's not amenable to the same sort of social political pressures that you might see, for example, at a city council level or at the congressional level. But, you know, from what I can tell, it's the same all over. You know, the judicial processes, it's just one of the three branches of government, whether it's the legislative making the laws, the executive enforcing them, or the judges who are interpreting them. It is all the same public process or political process. So I think these are legitimate questions. How it is that at certain times, certain laws seem to matter more often than others. And so for these days, post 9/11, these issues about what countries we can deal with and what products we can send to them and what our clients need to be worried about. We have a wonderful, wonderful Pakistani community here in for example, Houston.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of
what am I saying? We have a great diverse community
here
in Houston.
We do. Yeah, we probably have every country represented here in Houston,
right.
and doing business. And they have there's a lot of large trade organizations for each group.
So the bigger picture of where we live or what we live in, this environment applies to our neighbors and our prospective clients.
It does. And, you want to think, and I think that's what the professor was talking about, that the law will not be influenced by the politics. That's the simple version of your very eloquently put statement. But, and
we're
hopefully—
We're not blind monkeys or monkeys who can't hear.
The Senate approval process does have something it does. You know, perhaps it maintains some level of educational background and some level of experience.
Oh, but
maybe
it's all the same.
You don't think there's something that's happening there that they're taking a look at, you know, how many decisions they've made, at least that they've, you know, put something in writing and made a decision that's been recorded in some way. You don't think that they're doing any of that?
Well, yeah, there's some fettering. There's a process going on that's separating the sheep from the goats, I suppose. But, you know, who's defining what a sheep is and what a goat is? I'm just naturally skeptical. I'm sorry.
Well, I think, sadly, I think what I've seen in defending folks is it seems to be happening that way, because you see prosecutions of 83-year-old men who have actually had a pretty courageous and patriotic history. And
well, now, he did give four times as much money to Democrats than Republicans, and some might say
that might have had something to do with it. Yes, that's, and you were getting right to the root of what probably is happening, and that's probably the reason that the soccer mom who was delivering parts to China was prosecuted, because it's something that's not this city. And so you all didn't see that in the media. But in the city that this happened, it was top news in the media. That allowed the prosecutors and allowed the federal government to say, we are handling this problem.
Right.
We are solving this problem. It is terrorism's arm coming into this soccer mom's area, and we're solving it.
Right. And to their credit, this is a difficult time we live in, and there are hard choices that have to be made by diligent, qualified, good public servants.
And there are those out there, don't you think?
Absolutely. And there are countries out there with a lot of people who don't like us very much. And we got to be careful about that. I know I'm trying to come back from being too cynical, but I'm just saying that it makes completely sense to ask questions about why it is certain things happen. For example, would you ask questions about why certain legislators who make laws vote as they do? Well, of course you would. Why would you not ask those same questions about,
US
I don't know,
attorneys that,
judges,
that choose,
attorneys.
Choose who gets prosecuted and let other
Why
companies
not?
Perhaps and other people not be prosecuted?
It's all the same public process. You and I create it. You and I participate in it, and it belongs to all of us. So we all ought to look at it carefully when we hear about these high-profile cases here on Bar Talk. Sex, laws,
and audio tape without the sex. Without I said sex. It right, didn't I? This is Daphne Patterson and Scott Boats.
Scott Boats.
Arturo Deleon will be here.
In 2 weeks. He'll be here talking about estate planning. Next week, we talk about the law of love, Daphne.
Yes.
But here.
We need to tell him more about that after this break, don't
That's
we?
Right, we will.
Going to a break.
This is Biz Radio Network.
This is the Biz Radio Network.
Have you been targeted or arrested by federal or state law enforcement? If that happens, stop, seek, and call. Stop. Don't say anything to law enforcement or prosecutors. Seek a professional and experience.